Okay, wow, wow, wow. What a final, what a season. Welcome to In the Line of Hire, the show that brings you instant reactions and views to the wonderful TV show, The Apprentice. As you all know by now, I was lucky enough to be part of The Apprentice journey back in 2008 by winning the show, Series 4. And over the past 12 weeks, we've put together some outstanding, obviously I'm biased, but some outstanding content and some brilliant, brilliant guests, including previous winners and finalists and semi-finalists even from this year. So I'm really, really delighted to be running these series of shows. Each week, I've been joined by our resident expert of business psychology, my business brother, CEO of Phoenix 51, Chris Winterst. Chris, how you getting on?
Yeah, very, very good. Thank you. Brilliant final show, fantastic series. And yeah, just really looking forward to discussing and getting the analysis done.
For sure. And you can already see on our screens the wonderful, the beautiful, delighted to welcome back Ricky Martin to the show. 2012, one of The Apprentice, founder of Hyper Recruitment Solutions, business partner to Lord Sugar. He's been the past chair of the REC. He's also a NED for Perfect Storm Productions. He's also my friend. Ricky, welcome back to the show, mate. How are you getting on?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me, guys. The end of another series of The Apprentice. I mean, we were all desperate for it to start, and it's come to a conclusion, and we have a winner.
I know, and we're absolutely going to get into it. But I suppose as an overview, what was it like for you, Ricky? You've been in the exact situation that both Hartpreet and Catherine have been in. What was it like for you personally, that run up to that final and actually being in the final itself?
Well, the mad thing about it is the run up to the final is, ironically, the closest thing that's ever compared to it for me is actually just the days leading up to my wedding day. Where you've got the anticipation of something which is really important to you, that's really personal to you, that you don't want to go wrong in front of a lot of people you care about. Ironically, I got married about 3 weeks before I won the show as well. So it all happened for me within 2 months, both of those feelings. So nerve-wracking leading up to it. But the final itself, and this isn't supposed to come across as an arrogant way, it was probably the most comfortable position I'd felt through the whole of The Apprentice, because it's the week you're talking about your business, it's that your, you know, thing. And you're debating something you have more knowledge of, most likely, than the other people on the other side of the table. So it's the week where you can regain control.
Yeah, it's interesting actually you say that. I mean, Chris and I, for Phoenix 51, we've just gone through a big round of investment, still going through them big rounds of investment, aren't we, Chris? And we put together an evening, which is very similar to kind of The Apprentice evening final recently. And you do get nervous about it, but actually, you know your subject matter. Mm-hmm. So actually, I can understand where you come from. Chris, do you feel the same, that you're calm because you know it's yours and that's the passion?
Yeah, and I think personally, if you've got a passion for what you're doing, which is, you know, this is your baby, this is your business, this is something that you really want to take and grow and scale, then there shouldn't be too many nerves. And actually, if that comes across and you have that kind of calm focus with the way you deliver, then I think, yeah, then that should come across. And to be fair, I do think that was reflected in both the pitches when they went up there on the show yesterday.
Interesting. I mean, I remember the run up to my final. It wasn't about pitching my business plan, of course, because my series was different back then. All them years ago. But I remember I messed up the pitch, the presentation task in task 9 for my series. So I was very nervous going into the final, knowing that I had to pitch 150 experts, knowing that Lord Sugar was there, and I had to nail it. There was, 11 million people watching you on telly or whatever it was. And I'm like, I've got to nail this. And luckily for me, I did nail that. And I, again, not being arrogant, but I knew once I got through that pitch and I got back into the boardroom, I knew I'd won, because my record on The actual Apprentice itself was excellent. Check me out, like, bigger myself up. But look, it's not about me. It's about the two ladies. It's a brilliant semi-final. Girl power with a 4 semi-finalists, the first one in history to be all female. And of course, we've now got another all female final. Let's get into it. How did you think the two ladies, Catherine and Hartpreet, how do you think they got on, Rick?
I think, do you know what was great about both Catherine and Hartpreet is how composed they were with what they're doing? Because we've seen finals in the past where it can get a little bit catty between the two. People start trying to play down other candidates. And you saw pockets of that actually in the interview process boardroom. But in this boardroom, they just did the right thing. They focused on the strengths of what their business brings to Lord Sugar. And there was a bit of back and forth at one point. Catherine said something about her business to Lord Sugar. Harpreet said something about her business strategy. And there was a bit of back and forth. But on both times, positive promotion for their individual businesses and reasons for Lord Sugar to hire, as opposed to, I always say in business, what you should never do is slag off your competition. Because you lower the competition and you bring yourself down with them. These two promoted their businesses. They were actually positive. And the delight on the face, and I know we technically haven't said the winner yet, but the delight on the face of Catherine towards Harpreet for winning it said everything. She was delighted that a friend had won a process, not devastated that she hadn't got the win. And that is composure.
It's weird. Just touching on that. I mean, we have to say massive, massive congratulations to Harpreet. I think she's throughout the entire process. Yeah, my personal opinion and my professional opinion, I think she's been brilliant from start to finish. I think that she's been a leader of the entire team when she needed to be. When she was a sub-team leader, she really put her stamp and authority on there. Very, very decisive. I think, if anything, in the final, she was probably a little bit less decisive than what she'd had been in the previous tasks. And maybe, again, that was a bit nervous. You could see in both Harpreet and Catherine that they were a little bit nervous. I have to also take my hat off to Catherine. I think she's been absolutely outstanding. I was championing Catherine as well. I think both of their businesses are investable. I think that given some more time and given some more advice and guidance for Catherine, maybe her business plan could be, or her business idea could be formulated to such an extent that it becomes a no-brainer. I think maybe Harpreet had a little bit of an advantage because... not an advantage, but maybe because she's already been trading. I mean, she was very convincing, I thought, you know, when she was talking about, you know, I'm already doing six figures, I'm profitable business. I've already shown that I can do this. I thought that was very convincing. What did you think?
Well, it's always a difficult one, I guess, from an investor perspective, from Lord Sugar's perspective, because you're not comparing. It's apples and pears, isn't it? Fundamentally, you've got somebody who's running a business where it's working and somebody with a really passionate idea to bring it forward. And that was exactly the same in my year. I was working for a business and I had articulated a business plan I hadn't started yet. So I was kind of in a bit where Catherine's shoes were. Whereas the guy that I was up against, a chap called Tom, had a wine business that was doing very well, that was very mature and operating. So it was the same dilemma then. And at that point, what it comes down to is, who's an investable individual? And I think both of these were highly investable. So I don't think you could draw much between them. I think it just comes down with the depth and knowledge and confidence you have to how well that person knows their business. And I think with Catherine, you had somebody who was passionate about her business and wanted it to work and could see the idea, but I don't think had mapped some of the journey getting there. And that showed when you go back to the interview week where she hadn't brought the websites, was going to manufacture product in China because the competition does it. There were some areas there where I think more depth of research and knowledge of how she'd go about the business might have given a different outcome, whereas Harpreet always had the banker, this business is working, it's working, it's already making money, you're coming into something making money, let's just make more of it. So it makes it very hard for an investor, and I think that was the piece where Catherine fell short. She was clearly passionate. She will do this. There's no doubt she will do this. And I believe is already making great steps in how she progresses things. But I think there was just a bit of Lord Sugar's will always be there with him and some of his team to provide the support. But really, I remember when I got my investment, it was very much, you're doing this, Ricky. We'll give you help from here and there. And you have a board meeting every now and again. But I'm not sitting with you every day building it brick by brick by brick. You're building it. I'm just going to sign off the kind of blueprint. And I think her blueprint needed a bit more.
Yeah, I completely agree. Chris, let's come over to you and bring some of the data in that we've got. What have you got for us on Phoenix 51 platform this week?
Before I get the data up, just quickly, I want to just talk about the journey and just a bit of a recap on where these two individuals were. So I think if you look at Catherine, she was straight out of the box. You know, that first task, the cruise ship task, you know, won it with the bougie cruises. Yeah, put herself forward for project manager. And you know, she I don't think she necessarily made many friends on that first task, but she was assertive. She showed strong leadership skills and set the tone really for the rest of the series. Yeah. And if you remember, when we got to the halfway point, she was clearly one of the top candidates. And if you compared her directly with Harpreet, it was over 20 data points in front of where Harpreet was.
Wow.
And we had a long discussion both about Harpreet and Brittany, which was we saw potential in them that they absolutely needed to step up and to grow in confidence and to show some assertiveness. And both of them did that. But what's been super interesting is now crunching the data for the whole series. If you could go the show the data now, Lee, is that Harpreet has actually gone from being 20 data points behind to now actually coming up, and you couldn't make it up, but they both finished on exactly the same data points of 108 points scored by both Catherine and Harpreet. So going into the final, they're on exactly the same points, which I think is super
interesting. Chris, can you just zoom in a bit for the viewers, for our viewers? Can you just zoom in on that a little bit so we can onto the platform? Yeah, perfect. So, yeah. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, so for people listening on podcasts, you've got Catherine on 108, you've got Harpreet on 108, you've got Stephanie who finished on 103, and then Brittany on 93. So again, even Brittany closed that gap after being slightly behind. And I think, you know, in terms of the semi-final, it was the right four people. The data showed it was the right four people in the final. And then actually then going in, you've got, literally a coin toss between Catherine and Harpreet in terms of actually who was going to win it. So I think, you know, Lord Sugar referenced it was a very difficult decision to make. But, you know, obviously Harpreet's come out with the...
Interesting, Chris, with that data. Do me one more favour. Bring it back up on the screen again. And there's a really interesting symbolic thing we're looking at here in positions 1, 2, 3, and 4. Number 1 and 2 both have arms on their sides. Both arms on their sides. Fully know what they're doing, confident. Position number 3, a singular arm. I back myself, but maybe... And then position number 4, neither arm on their side. So looking at a few promotional poses, there might be some symbolism in how people present themselves at the front end based upon what they believe about their business. And using that example, Brittany didn't really know enough out of the business, but she backed herself, but the business bit. So yeah, and a little small thing for those that are watching this, I think they're a little clue sometimes.
Good spot, love a bit of body language. So I mean, I suppose what we're saying is that Lord Sugar, he did get the right decision. Did it, Ricky, for you come down to who in the end was more investable around that business plan? Because the data points don't take into consideration the business plan. The data points are the full-on 11 weeks of assessment, essentially. So realistically, it's come down to, yes, you've got the best two candidates in front of you. Make your decision, Lord Sugar. And did he get it right?
Well, first thing I should say, I haven't actually said it, is congratulations to Harpreet. Tremendous, yeah, by the way. Amazing. And I look forward to getting to meet and speak to you at some point very soon. And I'll always be here to give advice of what it's like to work with Lord Sugar and help you on your way, like I have done with many winners before. I actually think, was she more investable? I think they were both as characters, they were both investable. I think they are on a path at the data point of 108. Yep, they're both investable equally. I think at the end of the process, they're both still investable. Catherine will no doubt get the investment probably elsewhere or raise funds in other ways, which I have no doubt to bring the business. I think it came down to the business plan itself was that fractionally more investable. It had more confidence, yeah, credibility, because it was proven it was working, and you didn't need to reference the research it, where Catherine's needed more perfecting to probably put the confidence on the table. So I think the decision was right ultimately. Ironically, I think if you went back to a prior year, if you went back to pre-series, I think it was 7, so during your reign in when you wanna, I think Catherine might have got the crown because she'd have been invested as a character to go into a business of Lord Sugar's. And it's now series 8 onwards, which is during my tenure, now we're investing into a business. I think the decision was right because Harpreet's business was the business to go in. Even though we do a family pajama shot every year at home.
Yeah, you do actually. Both our families, in fact, all of our families are perfect candidates for Pajama League. So, Catherine, I know you watch it, and I'm delighted again. I want to say a massive, massive well done to get to the final as well. And I know you watch, and ultimately we're going to be hooking up soon and chatting and hopefully getting you on and all that sort of stuff as well. But you've also got probably 3 customers sitting right here, because all of our families will have your Pajama League all day long.
I love my dogs. convinced to do the Easter pajamas or summer pajamas. If Catherine wants to just send them my way, I'll happily put another picture out.
We get them modelling, Rick. Don't worry about that. Loving it. Get the guns out.
Too many. There'll be production problems.
But just actually, I think again, just going back to a point you made about kind of pre-Tom winning. So yeah, up to Series 6, which was obviously my era, you know, obviously the phenomenal Tim, who, by the way, I want to say massive congratulations to Tim.
Well done, Tim.
He is just the man. And brilliant, obviously, with Karen as well. But, you know, that them first six seasons, six series, the biggest compliment, hopefully this comes across a compliment, because you might think I'm a doofus, but the biggest compliment I could pay Catherine is that I could see bits of her that are the same as me, like a background, like a working class background, normal, you know, background type thing, the way that she, the energy and enthusiasm that she had on task, you know, when things weren't going so well on the task, she did put herself forward to go, actually, I think I backed myself to change this up. And I think you're right. I think from a character perspective, and again, the data points show this, she was definitely, you know, very close. I think at this level, you are splitting hairs, aren't you? You're talking 1 or 2% of the difference. And Lord Sugar could easily have said, you know, Catherine, you're hired, but it was Hartpreet that he chose in the end, which is a phenomenal result. Let's talk about the series just as a little bit as a whole. We'll come back to obviously the two finalists and the winner in a second. What did you think, Ricky, of the series as a whole? Do you think that, and that's probably a tough question for you, because obviously we're still part of that Apprentice family, but do you think that it's still got the business impact that it was designed to have? Or do you think now it's going a little bit more towards the kind of social media, kind of, you know, almost making fun? I mean, there was at one point in this series that there was clown music going on. And I just thought, I'm not quite sure that's the right way to go. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, every show will always have its critics, right? Particularly a show that's been running this long. You're going to hear everything. It's run its course. It's not fit for purpose. And all these different bits and pieces. I think they've got credible business people in there at the end of the day. And people still need to remember that there's a lot more depth behind these characters than just what you see on TV. TV's trying to get an entertainment process to get people around to watch it and to invest into the characters and invest into the investment at the back end of it. But these people all, and what's always more kind of remarkable is what people do after the show, how these people then go about. Are they back in their businesses? Are they doing things, or are they trying to be a wannabe person from TV? And I actually think you've got a number of people who really are credible and do well. I thought it's been a great year. And is the show doing what it should do? Well, I know when I spoke to Lordship, he does it because he wants to inspire enterprise fundamentally. And that's not a catchphrase he's asked me ever to say to anyone. But I know that's the reality. He loves things happening. It's why Catherine still stood a great chance, because he loves taking acorns and turning them into great oak trees, right? Which is kind of like he did with mine. What I would say is the show still never surprises me how many people watch it and talk to you, particularly young people, particularly people abroad, like not just in the UK. Its breadth and its reach is significant. Mm. And when people talk to you, what always fascinates me is just how enterprising people really are. And whether or not there are pockets of sometimes there might be a bit more entertaining or not, I still think it has an appeal to tell people that if you want to do something, you can go and do it. And that's why the show's lasted so long, because a lot of different people from different backgrounds can get behind it. A lot of people can take inspiration in setting up. Even I, going through the process, was like, I had loads of reasons not to do things before, but like 12 weeks, 12 different businesses, 12 different startups. Okay. There might be some limitations in there. There might be some things set on to make it easy for you. Some things more harder. But the show absolutely is still doing what it should do. It's inspiring enterprise. And I'm 10 years this year from being on it. And there are people randomly, if I go somewhere I've never been, that will talk to me about the process and what I did. And then what they'll talk to me about is what they've done since then. And it's amazing that impact that people have had. I mean, the amount of people have reached out to me in recruitment over a decade, wanting to set up a business. They saw what I had done. They're seeing what I'm doing, and I'm keeping in touch with some of them. It's just remarkable where that reach happens. So take away the TV element, there is a real impact this show has to people. And I think it's had that impact again this year, if not more than last year, because people haven't seen it for 2 years. It's like, let's get back around The Apprentice again. It's had that bigger wow factor again.
Yeah, I would agree, Ricky. I think it's been interesting because I've always loved The Apprentice, but I always find that when you start watching it, there's all these cringe moments where you're biting your fist because of some of the, you know, silly things that maybe people say in those early episodes. But, you know, I think that A, people, when they're in at the start of the process, they don't know how to be on camera. So they're almost trying to like prove themselves and they end up saying some stupid stuff. Plus there's the edit as well. You know, let's be fair. If there's a few like funny moments in those first few episodes, then that's going to increase the viewers, get people talking on social media and all that type of stuff. But I really think that the business credibility of those individuals and their journey and the stories that came out when you got into the latter phases really, really came through, and the individuals and their business credibility certainly shone, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting actually to hear that. Let's talk about one of the things I said in the off camera, like in the green room before we started filming, was sometimes when the previous candidates that have been fired, like week one, week two, or whatever, they come back to help you, and you're thinking, hang on a minute, you've got fired week two, and you're trying to help me win this whole thing. Like, you know, are you hindering me here? And it always reminds me of, remember when you was at school and you're picking like a five-a-side team, or you're picking a running team, and you're left last. No one wants you on your team. It's so horrible. How did you think that the teams rallied around each other? Because I think you mentioned it earlier, Chris, is that because it's their business, and Ricky, you said earlier that passion about their business, they always have that respect that actually it's your decision because it's yours, but I'm here to help. Do you think they helped? I mean, I actually thought the advert that Brittany put together with Nick, I thought it was brilliant. I actually thought it was really good. Like, oh, you do know you can get these from home and whatever. How do you think the teams coming back helped both Catherine and Harpreet?
Well, I think the good thing always is at this point, because it is the project manager is the finalist, it is their business. You're not getting the infighting anymore. You're not getting that, oh, well, I know this is going to go wrong and I'm just preparing to throw you under the bus to protect self-interest. That's all gone. So you do get a better level of collaboration. There's always the fear you get. I mean, there's one of the chaps on this year. I think you got fired week one. Like, they don't know this guy. Really, I mean, they'd have spent a couple of days with them and probably not even got to the house possibly with them, so they don't really know the guy and the skills he can bring. That said, the chap who was selected last, I think, was that candidate, and Catherine got him, and her words were, I was going to pick you anyway. I'm like, that's a really good project manager who is
lovely.
I'll take the last pick. She was positive and promotional. I'm like, well, that's a good trait of a leader there, of a manager trying to make people feel included. And I don't know, it's a tough one. Would I want people trying to, because I didn't have it that way. It was slightly different for me. My final was the interview. So I didn't have returnees coming to help to pitch my business as such. Course. My final was the interview. But then if you think about it, in business, you've always got a team of people. And while you might have selected them from interview processes, you might not know what they've really done in reality. At least on The Apprentice, you've seen some of these guys in a few weeks. You've got a bit of a feel for them. So it is, in business, you have to get results through teams, and you have to get resolved through companies and divisions, departments, whatever. You can't just do it on your own. So it is a real, I think people forget it. The real final test, it isn't just the business that's been put forward. It's how that person can get others on board to work with their idea. And any leader of a business, I heard a term, I think it was Simon Sinek said it recently. The term CEO is ridiculous. It should be CVO, Chief Vision Officer. And that person's role is to set the vision, get other people to buy into it and help to deliver and execute it with you. That's what they're actually doing in the final week. So I thought they both did a good job with those teams. And if anything, I felt a little bit like both Catherine and Harpreet chose their best mate to go on the sub team with them and left the others in the other team. And I was like, come on, get your best mate to be the sub project on the other team that you trust. Don't just have them rallying around you, bouncing off. I thought both of them made the wrong decision in who was on their team versus sub team, but
completely agree.
Not a criticism. I just think it could have been done better.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And you can tell that the four girls have built up a phenomenal bond with each other, and rightly so. And they're all brilliant people. But I agree with that. You know, sometimes you've got to split it out so that you can get an even better result. I'm not sure it would have changed the result, though, to be fair. Like you said, it wasn't a criticism, but ultimately I do agree with that point. Chris, have we got any data on the teams themselves coming back in or anything like that?
It was interesting seeing what came out. So this is specifically on how they've come across for the whole series. But if you look here around maybe what swung the decision, is that we've got some ranking tables here for each of the four individuals that made it through to the semi-finals. And with these top two, so when you talk about in business, key skills for being a leader, key skills for taking people on your journey. And you've got Harpreet, who has come up with the best communication skills. So on 23 data points versus Catherine on 21. And then leadership as well. So Harpreet and Stephanie showed you scored 21 on leadership. Catherine slightly behind on 19. So, you know, when we're talking about both of them have come up with equal overall, you're talking about fine margins.
Yeah,
so that could be something that swung it in Lord Sugar's eyes, that, you know, you need a good communicator. You need someone who's going to put themselves out there and you really be that strong leader when you're trying to get a business off the ground.
Chris, what's their graph saying for this week as well? I mean, it was really interesting. Last week, Ricky, Chris and I had Brittany and Stephanie on the show, which was a phenomenal show, by the way. You can still check it out on YouTube, at Phoenix 51 YouTube channel. But they both said that they're fascinated by the data points, actually, that Phoenix 51 is actually bringing up throughout these shows that we're doing. And I just wondered whether or not you had any data on, you know, their cumulative graph over that period and how that kind of breaks down.
Yeah, they're very, very similar, actually. So there's a lot of greens on there, shall we say. So if we have a take a look at Catherine, as you can see, they're all above the kind of like 60-70% mark. So, you know, she's really done as an overall all-rounder. You can see communication, leadership, interpersonal skills, drive and quality. Slightly less on the influencing skills if we're going to really be like, you know, trying to split hairs on it. And again, it's a very similar story when it comes to Harpreet, where again slightly different graph breakdown, but as you can see, like nearly 100% on communication leadership. So yeah, I think that, you know, like I said, there's not a lot in it between those top two. That's why I wanted to go down and just break it up between, you literally, you know, you're talking like two different data points between maybe Harpreet and Catherine as to what maybe swung it. Catherine, she showed better maybe planning and organizing skills, a little bit better creativity. But I think that if I'm thinking about, you know, putting yourself in the eyes of Lord Sugar, who does he want as a business partner? You know, I'm gonna want a good communicator. I'm gonna want a good leader.
Yeah,
I reckon that data, Chris. You had I think Harpreet's lowest one was creative thinking. And ironic, that was a point that Karen brought up. Like, if you're going with your headline product, why are you coming up with like a generic cookie? That is not so. Even though clearly, I mean, I thought that cupcake thing was wicked. It looked brilliant, right? It looked very Instagrammable, is what that looked like. I was like, brilliant. You can imagine that, right? You can imagine the Easter egg kind of version of it as well in there. But that was her lower one, and you can see why that data is reflecting some true outcomes.
Yeah, for sure. I have to bring up the records. You know, we talked about this when we used on the show last time, Ricky, in terms of your record and obviously my record. I think Harpreet is only the third candidate, might be the fourth. I'm trying to keep it as low as possible because I am in this little group where she never went in the final three of the boardroom, Harpreet. So again, you know, massive, massive congratulations to her on that. Phenomenal record. I think Catherine, and Stephanie did bring this up last week, actually, is that it starts to look your confidence when you lose a couple on the trot. I think Stephanie, astonishingly, I didn't realise this, but I think she said she lost task 7, task 8, task 9, task 10 on the trot, and that takes its toll. Actually, looking at some of the data, I think Catherine lost 3 of the last 4 or 4 of the last 5. That's also quite tough going into that final as well. And again, coming back to the 20 data points in front and then that lead being kind of eradicated by Harpreet, it kind of points to all of the same thing. Do you think that might have had a bit of an effect on Catherine's performance in the pitch? I mean, I personally thought both of them were very good on the pitch. That's probably the toughest thing that you will do at that point in your career, in my opinion. What did you think, Ricky, on the pitch inside and that side of things?
People always need to remember that the pitch is a lot longer than what we see on TV.
Yeah, exactly.
You might see like 3 sound bites of each of them saying 3 different sentences or responding to a question or a rebuttal or something like that. In reality, they are decent long pitches. And from a television perspective, the bit that they might show is the bit where they might be looking the most, not vulnerable, but being challenged the most, because it's a program building anticipation, right? They clearly would have pitched extremely well because they were the three spiciest bits they could kind of put on the production for each of them. They clearly nailed those pitches, both of them. I thought they were composed. I thought they did very, very well. But how will it impact their confidence? Well, on the surface, you'd like to think losing a few weeks means that you might be feeling a little bit, oh, Lord Sugar thinks I haven't won in a while. I need to prove myself. I think it works both ways. I think I still stand by. You're not in that final three. Lord Sugar still doesn't really know who the hell you are. So I think it goes against you sometimes never having that final three because you're not getting to have the challenge and understand how to work with Lord Sugar and show him. Whereas if you have had it, and again, it's all bets are off in the final because it's your business. Like, I don't care if I've lost the task last week about English sparkling wine because I'm not going to sell English sparkling wine. That's what I did in my year. I lost it as a PM. I'm not going to sell the stuff. I don't drink it. I don't like it. I've got no interest in it. I was trying to prove a point that I could market something I couldn't really care about. And what it reminded me is I should market things I do care about. At that point, it is your business that you're pitching. So really, all bets are off. And Lord Sugar's really not in the interview. Maybe the track record comes into the occasion. You've lost a lot. What does that tell us? You always bought into the final three. What does that tell us? Okay, in the interview, but in the final, I don't think if you'd lost 10 weeks, 11 weeks, I still think you can win it.
I think
it'd be very hard, but I think you still can win.
Tom, obviously a good friend of both of ours, I think Tom lost five. I think he was in the final three of the boardroom five times and he still ended up winning Series 7. So you know, I do agree with you on that. I think the process, as we love to call it, but the process, the assessment process, as Chris and I obviously in that business with Phoenix 51, is up until that point. If you're there and the data points show that you're deserving to be there, then it becomes a decision. At the end of the day, we've taken a lot of investment ourselves now, and every single time, regardless of how much is invested or who that investor is, if it's an angel investor or if it's a somebody's invested for 10, 15, 20 years, it comes down to, can they work with you? Do they trust who you are? Do they buy into you as your passion? Like, it's very, very difficult, viewers and listeners, to fake passion for what you do. You just can't do it. And that's, for me, that's one of the other key things about The Apprentice is energy, enthusiasm, obviously leadership, communication. How do you handle situations every single week that is completely outside of your comfort zone? It's not about, oh, we look like wallies or we look like clowns or whatever. It's about, okay, I'm putting myself in a scenario which I've never done before. Can I handle it? Can I do it? What can I get out of that? What can I learn? And that, for me, I think you nailed it last time, Ricky, on the show when you said this is called The Apprentice. It's a learning journey. It's not about the final individual. And I've got absolutely no doubt that a lot of the candidates this year, but certainly the top four, Brittany and Stephanie, I think they'll make it. If they want it, they can have it. And I think the same with Catherine. I think she'll get investment. I think you'll see her business boom. And obviously, Harpreet's got the chief investment. And I think she'll do an amazing job.
Well, on the point of the learning element, that's why I say it's still The Apprentice. But if you think of in the final, what you started seeing with Harpreet, I think, interview process and finally somebody who was very open to learning. She even put something out there. She was like, my original business proposition said that I'd open three locations in 3 years. Now I believe I can create two in 2 years from responding and listening to the advice. So she showed someone who was actively listening, somebody who was trying to put that into context of the business to show scalability, which was one of the areas of conclusion. So she did show somebody who was learning, listening, and wants to put it into practice. Catherine, of course, learned the whole way, but you probably found, because in the final, that's the point where your business is getting a bit more attacked. The interviewer is, but he starts getting attacked by experts, like in the pitch, she was attacked by a lady about jungle print. And I think that came up again in the boardroom. And her rebuttal to the lady from Georgia was really strong. It was, okay, well, whatever luxury designer, Dolce & Gabbana or Gucci, someone like that, has recently done jungle print. And it come up again in the final boardroom, but she was a little bit more close to it. No, this is my opinion. And it's a tough one, because at that point, you want to show strong decision making. You don't want to go back on decisions, but you also have to show a level of flexibility and responding to advice. And I think that was the final time where you saw Harpreet, who was very open to driving the right change, and Catherine, who's probably trying to stand by her decisive decision making, not necessarily showing listening. And even though, look, take that advice on board. I don't fully agree, but it's definitely something I can do a little bit more in. I felt there was a little bit less in, there was more inflexibility at that point than maybe we'd seen from her when she was talking about Tar. She knew less on. And I think that's just the pressure of it and having your business that you're passionate about attacked. We go into different modes, right? We can be very defensive, which is a very natural thing. I do it all the time. And I say to some of my guys, I'm the type of person who will come out swinging. I'm not going to kind of come back, which is a weakness of mine.
Guilty. Again, I think you make a really good point about that, again, because it's your own business, your own baby. It is a lot easier to become defensive about it. You know, when you're making sparkling wine or whatever, whatever it was, you're setting up a laundry business, right? You know, it's not yours. It's not your thing. But when it becomes your thing, you become that little bit more defensive, isn't it? So it's all right to criticize yourself, but when somebody else does it, you hang on. Why did you say that? They're probably right, but it's quite interesting. Look, we're going to go for quick.
Is already working, right? So she's already She's already given birth to her child, right? And that's all. I always look at my business. My business that I set up with off the back of The Apprentice was the baby that I didn't have at the time that I was desperate to have. So she'd already got that kind of child in the world. And as a result, it's probably easy to learn from others at that point. When you're thinking about it and you're thinking about having a child, and we had 4 years worth of IVF to have our first child, I become very defensive to anybody attacking what I really wanted. Oh, no, you know, you don't always have to have a child. All these things I started hearing from, I got very defensive. And that's kind of where Catherine is, because she hasn't got that business operating like Harbury, and it's you're really passionate about getting it going. So I think your defense levels go up that little bit more, because it's something it's like a sole mission to launch it, whereas on the other one, you've launched it, the mission is to make it the best it can. So it's that they're coming from different places when they're getting questions, and that's the thing that's really hard to see sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. Look, we're going to take a quick break. It's the second time I've done this. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get both Ricky and Chris's views, and my views, of course, on if there's any surprises in this season. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this.
Technology, enabling organizations to make data-driven decisions at every stage of the employee journey, from hiring through benchmarking and development too. The platform provides detailed analytics on the most important asset in your business, your people, enabling organizations not only to make the correct hiring decisions, but also how to benchmark, train, and retain them. Phoenix 51, powering your people decisions through every part of the employee journey.
Okay, so we are back. So I just touched upon before the break, actually, Ricky, coming over to you. The series as a whole, we'll come back to the finalists and obviously Harpreet, the new champion, shortly. But was there any surprises for you? Is there any kind of one that got away? Did you look at some of the candidates throughout the season series and think, oh, Lord Sugar's gone early with him or with her. Maybe she could have done well, or he could have done better with a bit more longevity.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Francesca. She went really early in the process, about week 4 or 5 from memory. And I remember thinking she was a real contender, like real, real contender. I'm like, she had come across so strong, and then almost it just went like that. And I was very surprised when she went. I thought she'd shown enough in the first few weeks to get through maybe the wobble of the week she was in versus other people. And I think seeing what she would have brought to the table from a business perspective at the latter end would have been really exciting.
Really interesting.
I always, as a recruiter, what do I naturally do? I always look at people's pedigrees. I look them up on LinkedIn or wherever and get an idea of what they've actually done prior to the show to think, okay, where's that credibility coming from? And she'd worked for some of the big consumer good companies who are very polished, who are very good at looking at people's behaviours and competencies. And you get a very well-rounded candidate in those processes. Those businesses, the FMCG businesses, hire on behavioural first, probably more so than skill. And I thought she had so many of the behaviours that would excel in this process, but went really short. So without knowing how your graphs would have predicted her on in the weeks that she went, she was my surprise exit from the process. There are probably some that went a bit further. I think he's a stellar chap. I'd love to meet the guy at some point, and you probably know who I'm going to say.
100%,
the person I picked on my sweepstake at work, but Akeem. He went much further in the process based upon what we saw. Then I think he should have. And sometimes that is being on the right teams in the right weeks and not having the exposure of getting into the final three meant that the journey on the process was longer. But good thing for him, it meant he was in it for longer. He'd have probably learned more, and that will help him to do whatever he's going to do next.
Yeah, interesting. Chris, your view as well. I think I know that you're going to agree with Ricky, because just put my two pennies worth in. I thought exactly the same about Francesca as well, like, yeah, literally word for word. What was your viewpoint, Chris?
Yeah, I agree. I think she was a loss. But, you know, if I remember the week she went, she did put herself up as PM and they did tank. And so there is that danger that despite your previous week's performances, you know, you are in the firing line. I think on almost like the flip side to it, the person who I judged too quickly, I think, was Akshay. So I felt that his mannerisms and it was a lot of ego going on, I think, in the first couple of weeks. And I just didn't think he had what it takes. And then he actually came to the party as we went through the show and really grew into it a little bit more. So he was a surprise that I think I was surprised that he stayed, but I'm glad he did in the end. Yeah. And then the other one was Aaron. So I thought Aaron was going to be in the final. I thought it was a semi-final. It was going to be 5, not 4. I think that week, I think he did himself a disservice the week before the semi-final, because he had an opportunity to grasp the PM and really, you know, show his leadership skills, and he was too passive. And I think had he not done that, he would have been in the final 5.
That's really, really interesting, Aaron. I just want to pick up on Akshay as well, because I want to meet Akshay. I actually also think that he's got something, something quite big. I wonder, I'd love to interview him actually. I wonder whether or not he regrets some of the way he came across in the first 6-7 weeks, really. I know he didn't have a great record. I think he lost 6 tasks or whatever it was. And I think Lord Sugar said that to him, and, you know, there's no smoke without fire, right? You keep losing. But I do think that there is something with Akshay. I think with the right, depends on what he wants to do, like with the right desires. I suppose that's what I'm trying to get at, Chris or Ricky, is that did Akshay have the right desire to want to go and do this, or was there other reasons, you know, blue ticks on Instagram and whatever. But it'd be quite interesting for me to chat with Akshay. I'd love to, by the way. So if you're watching, get in touch.
Look, Akshay's a salesperson, so I don't think he'll have any regrets how he come across at the front end. He's a salesperson who went into that environment with bravado. I did exactly the same in my year. Wanted to be seen around some of your peers as being the top dog type thing. I think he went in it bold as brass, and I actually think it probably suits his character type. But what you got from it, he's got a real level of humility, and he's got a real... The bits that you don't see on the show sometimes is you say something, and then you either start smiling or laughing, and you're a bit cheeky with it. But that smile or laugh doesn't get into the edit. So it might come across a little bit more direct. Clearly he's warm. Lord Sugar definitely liked him out of the
That's why I want to meet him, because to see them qualities, because I think he's spot on. I think he's got that. What about the winners in terms of the show itself? Not the actual winner, as in Harpreet, well done Harps, but what about the actual winners that have come out of there? Who do you think's come out and is going to have a career, a business out of the back of this year, Ricky? We'll start with you, mate.
No doubt, Catherine. The whole pajama concept, while it might be out there, people are always looking for... There's pajamas that you might go to certain locations, but I mean, my wife buys that stuff every year for us at Christmas, and I know it's not just at Christmas time. That's the perception, right, for the consumer, but it isn't just at Christmas. It's every night of the year, right? There's other ways. She no doubt will come off as a winner off the back of this, and I really, really, really hope that she stays focused to the whole pajama concept and drives it and makes it happen. She's somebody who could probably easily get wrapped up in a little bit of the fame and a little bit of the world that she's been in right now. But I think her business has a real, real positive upside to come. I think Stephanie, again, would have come across as a strong winner in the process. I do think... I thought she was strong. I thought she was strong the whole way. She was composed. She chose leadership. I think one of the graphs you showed earlier, Chris, she was equal with Harpreet, which doesn't shock me.
I'm
one of those.
Yeah, and she had the highest level of commerciality. So she was 5 data points clear of Harpreet and Catherine in commerciality. Yeah. So I think that, you know, she definitely had a lot. And actually, you know, she was on our show last week and, you know, she was talking about, you know, her business, her marketplace that she's set up for, you know, luxury children's clothing. And she's already seen a massive spike in sales. I think she's got a much clearer business plan. I think she said she took quite a lot from Claude, from her, the bits maybe you didn't see within the interview. It wasn't all harsh. There was some really useful feedback that she took away from that. And yeah, I can see her really going from strength to strength. I think there's a definite business concept there, which I think utilizing hopefully the, you know, the status and the recognition that she's going to get from this show, it'd be great to see that business fly.
Every one of them has a great chance of getting their business to become real successes, but it's down to each of the candidates to focus on that now. And you have two options after being on a pro. So you have the option of getting wrapped up in the fanfare of The Apprentice, which, let's be very clear, guys, the finals just happened, a winner's been announced. In the next week, we move on from the world of The Apprentice. Consumers and the public move on from that. So the candidates need to move on from that as well, because they've been within a 12-week period of just kind of off the charts. I mean, they've never experienced before where they're getting recognized, which will continue for a bit. However, they either turn up to the opening of every bloody envelope that's existing out there because they want to go do every talk possible, help as many people as they can. But what they need to do right now is help themselves to liberate their businesses and drive it forward. And if there was one area of the process this year, when you mentioned who might be the winners other than the winner, it's very, my only disappointment this year is I don't feel like the guys even got off the starting marks. I just
Where were the guys? That's my biggest disappointment. Sorry to cut across. I'm passionate about this. Where were brilliant for the women? Absolutely brilliant. They thoroughly deserved it. Amazing. But guys, where were you? Where were you this season?
Where the girls did so well is I believe they created a unity between them. Because there's some years what you might see is you see probably some early unity in the chats versus the ladies. Whereas I felt like the girls this year really were strong collectively. They were supportive, promotional to each other. Everything that we should be doing to support other women in business. I just felt like the guys, I don't know if there was too much jockeying for position between them maybe, and they got more focused on that than a level of unity. But it started off slow and never recovered. It's like you're going into a football match and you're 3-0 down within 10 minutes and your head's...
Tottenham fan, Ricky. I know you're not. I know you're a Pompey fan, but like that's how Tottenham start each week. And you know exactly within 3 minutes, you know we're going to lose the football match.
Well, you got some great, you got some individually some great talent, but collectively. So I don't know. But the girls came out so strong at the starting blocks. It's very hard for recovery. And this isn't about a male female thing in any way whatsoever. But the one thing that was missing this year for me is I felt like that real standout chap. I don't know if they, I think the girls are just so strong. I just don't know if there was room for them.
They were brilliant. I want to mention Brittany, because we had Brittany on the show last week. I have to say, I thought she was excellent. And one of the things about Brittany is she knows what she wants. She knows what she wants to go and do. Maintain the Game is her business, MTG. She's got some merch going on out there as well, which I love. I love the way that she's putting it. And the most important thing to me, and this would be advice from anyone from an investment perspective, is she's putting in her own money. She's investing her own money. She's not going out to investment saying, oh, can you invest in me because I haven't got anything. She's putting her own stuff into her, behind her own idea to really back herself. And I think that's a really massive, important point. We talk about leadership. We talk about entrepreneurs. We talk about behaviors and competencies. That, for me, is a huge trait. And it will give her investors, when they do invest, even more confidence in her business. If she's putting her own hard earned in, as it were, then ultimately gives investors confidence to be able to go and do that as well. So fair play to Brittany as well. But I agree, Ricky, that the four girls and maybe the one that got away was Francesca, but the four girls definitely deserve it. Let's have a final word then when we wrap up this show. I have to say I've thoroughly enjoyed these shows. They've been amazing. And you mentioned about, you know, after a week or 2 weeks, The Apprentice sort of dies down. I'm dining out, and it's 14 years this year, Ricky. 14 years, come on.
Sorry, who's Leave the Queen again? I can't remember.
the weird thing is, I'd like to sit here and say there's only one Lee McQueen, but if you know your passion, and you know your history, you'll know that Alexander McQueen's actual real name is Lee McQueen. So there's actually two Lee McQueens, not just the one. But let's talk about Harpreet. Phenomenal final between Harpreet and Catherine. Sorry, phenomenal winner. I wish you absolutely all the best. Some final summary from you, Ricky, and then Chris on Harpreet itself.
Harpreet, what a force of nature she's been through the process, right? I think from the very beginning, it's been clear that she's a contender and she's grown in the process. And I think sometimes The Apprentice is all about, particularly if you're a viewer watching it, which we've all been, despite we've got links to it, we've all been viewers. She adapted, she learned. You saw the vulnerability. I think there was one of the latter weeks when they were selling on the TV show, she was more tell rather than ask or support or direct. She was clearly exhausted. So you saw, it was a real journey that we'd seen Harpreet go on throughout the whole process. But exceptional winner. I think she will do very, very well with it. I think she'll listen and take on board some of the expertise Lord Sugar will have to bring. And let's not forget, he has got exposure working within industries with cakes and stuff with previous winners. Karina's done really well since she won the show 2 years ago. So there'll be other people that can really help her on there. But yeah, she will be great. She'll do really well. Just hope she keeps the ambition of scalability. And when it gets tough, when she's trying to manage more than two stores, because it will get really, really tough, and she'll need to rely on others to deliver the excellence, that she will stay as strong and determined as we've seen.
That just before I come over to you, Chris, that apprentice family or that apprentice alumni that you referenced earlier, Ricky, I know. You know, our series were previous to the kind of the business partner shows from Series 7 onwards, but we all find that apprentice alumni. Let's be honest, this is why you and I are friends, and we hook up and we talk, and same with Tom and with Mark and with Lee, with everybody that we haven't even known or even seen before. We've got that something in common, and that would be what I would say to Harpreet as well, is utilize that. I mean, you know, you've got some amazing people around you. You know, make sure you surround your people, yourself with amazing people as well. And we're all here for you on that side. Chris, what did you think? Harpreet, worthy winner?
Yeah, very much. I think it's the passion, it's the energy. It's like, you know, she thinks very quickly. She's definitely got a lot going on between the ears. And I think just infinitely a very likable human being who, you know, I think Lord Sugar can work with. I think that's really important. But I think the two things that really stood out for me actually came in the last 2 weeks, which was she got called out on some of the language that she used in her business plan, which was almost, you know, it was quite aggressive. And, you know, she got called out on it, and she kind of realized that there's a line between being assertive and actually that going too far. And she took that on board. And, you know, and so it showed, I think, a level of emotional awareness actually about how she might be perceived or how she comes across. So that ability to learn. So I think that was the first thing. The second was that, you know, it was potentially the lack of ambition that she showed within her business plan as well, which was, you know, only one store per year. And I think that now her eyes are open to what Lord Sugar can bring to the party, is that, you know, she's got the ability to scale, to potentially franchise and really go big with it. And I think that, you know, if she can take that on board, take the opportunity and grasp it, she's going to go far.
And the good thing for Harpreet is there's two ways you can do it. You can show she was probably a risk-free growth plan is what she tried to show there. Consider it that it will work and nothing will break. You get other people who are deluded and they want to go too far, too quick on not enough money. So actually you'd rather come from where she was and move up in line with the plan than the other way. And key thing for Harpreet, and I hope you are listening, is winning this is the start of where you're going now. This doesn't mean that you've made it. And that's not to take any disrespect away from winning it, because it's very, very difficult and should be very proud. I'm sure all of the family, as well as other people who are involved in the process, will be. But now's the platform to really move forward, the start of the next stage of the journey. It's not you've not succeeded because you've won it. You've just got the investment to take to what's next. And the investment's normally the start of the process.
I mean, literally perfect sum up, Ricky. Absolutely superb. Wow, that's it. There you have it. It is done. It is Harpreet is the 16th winner of the UK The Apprentice and Lord Sugar's new business partner. It's been an absolutely fantastic 12 weeks. Huge, huge thank you to all of our past winners that we've had on the show throughout the last 12 weeks, and obviously the finalists as well. Special mention to both Stephanie and Brittany for coming on literally straight after them interviews, and we know how tough they are as well. Next week's show, well, this is a bit like I normally say, well, we've got next week's show. Well, who knows? We might just have two more special guests to look over the entire series of The Apprentice Series 16. Keep your eyes out on socials for all of them details. Ricky, you've always been brilliant once again. Where can everybody find you?
Best place, any social media platform, really. LinkedIn's where I spend most of my time. But, of course, we all have Twitter and Instagram. But in all of them, I'm at RickyMartin247.
Love it, mate. 24/7, Ricky Martin. Absolutely love it. Don't forget to subscribe at Phoenix51 YouTube channel. Share, like, and I'll catch you on the socials. And I'll catch you next time on In the Line of Hire.